This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning, Chuck. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, guys. How are you?
Doing well. I'm all fired up. We're all fired up.
NBA playoffs.
God, yeah, the NBA play got the fun. Got one half of the finals we figured out. You got to wait like a week for that to start.
Regionals just got set, though. I mean, it's crazy in the sports world.
You know me, Chuck. I'm fired up about the NCAA tournament. You know what that feels like.
Well, I know you're not the only one. I would imagine that that'll be a topic of discussion all week long for people. And, you know, it's an interesting field. And there are a lot of ties to, you know, Dave Van Horn's got some ties to guys, and some of those players have ties to our program, and so, and it's a true regional, so it'll be a fun weekend.
That's the thing about it being a true regional. Last year, you had a team from Santa Clara come in, and heck, we've had other years where it's been like Central Connecticut State or St. John's or New Jersey Institute of Technology. That's a thing that stands out. It's teams that Arkansas, I've seen them play in the regular season against SEMO. Not this year, but in other years. And La Tech, we had a great series with them 3 years ago. And, you know, K-State, I've seen Arkansas play them in Kansas City. So might not necessarily be like familiar with them in this year, but it's programs that you could see them playing in the regular season too.
Yeah, we played in their regional in what was it, 2013, 2014, somewhere in there. We were in Manhattan. I remember going there. We played SEMO a lot. I can remember playing SEMO back, you know, when Norm was the coach. Way back when at the old ballpark. And so, yeah, there's some history there. La Tech, Dave's taking them down to Ruston a time or two to play. So, yeah, there is some real history with all those teams.
Hey, Chuck, how important is it for this team? Because you know the intensity gets here, but not to play tight. To be able, I mean, it's a big moment, but to be able to go out there and play loose and just and let talent rise to the top.
Well, that's one of the things that's always kind of interesting to watch for me in the regionals is, you know, particularly teams that are playing at home, how they handle the expectation of winning. Because everyone just assumes it's a foregone conclusion, for example, that Arkansas is going to win this weekend. And it's that way probably at a lot of the other seeds, certainly the top eight and probably the other eight that are hosting as well. But you know, you've got to be able to handle all that, and then you got to go out and play, and then once you start playing, you got to figure out a way to stay out of the loser's bracket. If you can do that, you can win it. I've always believed that the first weekend's the wild card. Second weekend's a lot easier to predict than the first weekend.
Why do we still do it like this? I've kind of wondered about this for a while, and I don't know if we're going to be changing the NCAA baseball tournament or not, but Chuck, it's a series-based sport all year long. You play two-game series. You play three-game series on the weekend. Why do we do this four-team pod? It's just a standalone thing. Nobody does this throughout the season, and all of a sudden you do it now. Do you like how we do the regional? I kind of would like to see it go to a series-based thing for the entire postseason. What do you think?
Well, I know that's been bandied about, and it wouldn't bother me at all. I think there's more, you know, maybe more fairness to that, if you want to use that term. I think the cream probably has a better chance to rise to the top, so to speak. But there's also the wild card aspect of the first weekend that I think's fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure taking that away would be the best thing. I could probably, if you want to know the truth, make an argument on either side of the coin, but I'll be okay with whatever they do. But the way the setup is now, you got to win that first weekend in wild card fashion, so to speak. And so, you know, as long as they've been playing baseball tournaments that are double elimination, the objective is to stay out of the loser's bracket, and that'll be the objective here too.
Hey, Chuck, last year we saw, I believe it was Trey Richardson from TCU, just get hot and just his bat was on fire. Who's a guy like that that you could see that's kind of been on the come, maybe a youngster or a veteran that you could see getting hot in this regional?
Well, I hope it's somebody on our side.
That's what time. I mean, Chuck. I'm saying, who in the
no,
Razorback line?
No, I know what you meant. I know what you meant. Stovall's been hitting the ball well lately. I think players like that, I think your big guns have got to carry you. I don't know that you can necessarily expect a guy to come on, you know, when he's not been great during the year, although sometimes you will have a player that'll just kind of emerge from nowhere. But I think the guys who've carried, you have to carry. I mean, Stovall's the guy that I look at. I've always thought of him as being the best player on the team. And I know there are arguments that can be made for other players. I'm just saying, for me, I've considered Stovall to be the best player on the team. And I think if they're going to win the national championship, the best player on the team's got to be the best player. And that just doesn't just go for him, but I mean, it goes for the others. And when I say best player, I'm talking everyday player guys. You know, I'm not talking about pitchers. But those are the guys. You know, a guy like Stovall, to answer your question, I think that's a guy that's got to come on and got to hit the ball.
So I've seen some years where Dave has pitched the ace on Friday against the four seed. I've seen other years where he's held them back to Saturday. And I don't really know what they're going to do this weekend. My initial thought was that Gage Wood might start Friday and save Hagen for whomever wins the 2-3 game, and then maybe Molina after that. I don't know. But that's, I think, aside from fans wondering if Arkansas can get the bats going, like, they're going to need to score this weekend. But the second thing is, when does Hagen Smith pitch, and who do you think throws on Friday?
Well, you better not take anything for granted. I can tell you that, because what you don't want is Hagen Smith pitching Saturday afternoon. Because if that happens, you're in the loser's bracket, and you're pitching him to survive, and you're not going to win the tournament. I mean, you're just not going to win the tournament. So whoever you pitch in that opener, and I have no idea who it's going to be. Some of the guys they're talking about, you know, man, I don't know. You better put somebody out there that can handle the moment. Not somebody that you hope can handle the moment. Somebody that's been in that situation. I mean, from the outside looking in, if you don't pitch Smith on Friday, I think you've got to think about starting Molina. Mm. Because he's been there. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Some of these other pitchers have had their moments. But, Matt, you just talked about it a minute ago, and you know, because you played in big games. It's a whole lot different. I don't care if you're at Baum Walker Stadium or not. I don't care if you got a home ERA of 1.5. It's going to be a whole lot different Friday or Saturday or whenever you go out there. And so, whatever they decide to do, and look, I'm not saying anything they don't know. I mean, they know 10 times better than I do. But you better not have somebody out there that'll melt, because if you do, you're in trouble.
You hit on something that I could feel it just waking up yesterday when it was Selection Monday, and you're going to see what the field is. Now, we weren't in the position that a lot of other teams are, where they're even wondering if they're getting in or if they're going to host. I mean, the Hogs are in a really safe place as far as that's concerned. But it's the tension of the postseason, and it's like you'd put it there. You'd like to have somebody who's been in that position before, of like pitching in a tension filled, expectation filled moment, and there's nothing quite like the 2 minutes before the first pitch of the regional on a Friday. It's nerve wracking. And you're right, though, you got to have somebody that at least can answer that moment. Doesn't matter who it is you play. It's the thing I love about the regionals, Chuck, and it's also the thing I hate about them. It's you trust what you've seen for the last 2.5 months, but you still have no idea which direction this thing goes.
No, and that's why I've always said, I mean, the first game of the regional, I mean, it's hard to say it's the most important, because when you win that game, Saturday night's game's more important. But you better win that game. You just have to win that game. And if you're going to pitch off, and by pitch off, I mean pitch anybody other than Hagen Smith, you better be ready to score some runs, because, guys, let's be honest. If anybody's out there except Hagen Smith, aren't we all going to be a little bit nervous? Because you know the other side's going to have one good pitcher. And this team's not exactly knocked the cover off the ball. So you better find a way to swing those bats on Friday, because, you know, regardless of what anyone thinks, it's probably not going to be real easy.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Chuck, Bill Walton passed away yesterday, age 71. Hall of Fame player, you could say Hall of Fame broadcaster, though I think people had more opinions about him as a broadcaster than as a player.
Maybe a misunderstanding of him, I think, was some of the opinion. Yeah.
That's probably the right way
to
put it.
Some people don't like joyful people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just don't. It's true. Some people don't like joyful
people.
They
think it's fake almost. Like, why are you
That's
so
right.
happy? Yeah.
That's right. And Bill Walton was a joyful person. You may not have agreed with everything you said, but some people just don't like people like that. And I feel sorry for those people. To me, the world's not as good a place without a guy like Bill Walton. I think we need a world full of Bill Waltons. You know, I can remember when he played, and unfortunately for a lot of people, and Phil, you know this as a broadcaster, you say one thing somebody doesn't like and they hate you forever. A lot of people don't like Bill Walton because of some of the things he said on the air. But Bill Walton was one of the top basketball players to ever put on sneakers. And Matt, I told you this off the air. There's never a basketball game that I watch, ever, calling a game on television, ever, When I see a big man on the low block with his back to the basket hit a cutter on his way to the rim who lays it up and in, I think of Bill Walton. I think of the 70s with the Blazers. I think of Lionel Hollins cutting to the basket. I think of Bill Walton hitting Dave Twardzik and Maurice Lucas and all those guys. And just the best passing big man I've ever seen. And he came up in an era when knee injuries would literally end your career. Whereas opposed to now, you have some surgery and 8 months of rehab and bang, you're better than ever. It wasn't that way back then. That ruined your career, and that's what happened with him. I heard somebody say he was one of one, and I think that's a pretty good way to put it.
Was that Dr. Jack Ramsey? Was he the coach of those
Trailblazers? Dr. Jack Ramsey.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, now Lenny Wilkins was.
Okay, yeah.
Lenny Wilkins. A time, too. Yeah. But Dr. Jack was there, yes. Lenny Wilkins, I guess, played for Dr. Jack. I'm going to date myself because it's 50 years almost. But Lenny Wilkins was part of all that, too.
I remember Lenny Wilkins being the Cavaliers coach. I believe he was the coach when Jordan over the shot over Craig Elo. You know,
for the Blazers. Okay. Maybe that was it. Maybe he just played for the Blazers.
Do you ever see like some of the play-by-play guys that Walton worked with, and they would describe what it's like to work with him, like Dave Pash? You just I remember I would do like on the Sunday games at Dickie Stevens Park. All of a sudden, Bill Valentine decided he's going to start doing Sunday broadcasts with me because that's when the restaurant was closed. So I figured out it's like, all right, so the other 6 days I can do my regular prep. I can do a regular broadcast. These Sundays, these are totally different days. And I feel like that was probably like broadcasting with Bill Walton every game. You never knew what he was going to say, whether it was going to be insightful or have nothing to do with the game that you're watching, but you better be on your toes.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. You know, the quote that I always remember from Bill Walton, this has more to do with Marv Albert than it does anybody else. Bill Walton said, I thought I lived a wild life until I hung out with Dennis Rodman and Marv Albert. Now, if you're Marv Albert, to be mentioned in the same breath with Dennis Rodman and Bill Walton, I mean, that's unbelievable. But that's the quote I'll always remember from Bill Walton.
Well, Chuck, these NBA playoffs have just been, they've been pretty good for, I mean, I don't know how, what other people think. I know you had a sweep on the Eastern side. I think, you know, Indiana overachieved and then you lost your best player. What do you expect? And then you're seeing Kyrie and Luka do their thing. And then Gafford kind of coming into his own, knowing his role. You see another sweep. This Timberwolves team, Chuck, they were the number one ranked defense in the regular season. It just shows you the difference between regular season and playoffs. They haven't been playing like the same defense in the playoffs, at least against these Mavericks.
Well, the Mavericks are on a run right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the hot team, and T-Wolves have no chance. I mean, that bus was warming before they even tipped off. And this is the playoffs, as you just said. I mean, this is the playoffs. And I say that with apologies to my many friends who are Oklahoma City Thunder fan. I am too. But this is the playoffs. It's not the regular season. And you got to man up, so to speak, as I sit in my comfortable chair and say you got to man up. But the Mavericks have manned up. And now let's say, you know, Boston was impressive in their win over Indiana, but if they don't get Porzingis back, they're not going to beat the Mavericks. If they get him back, I think they got a shot. But Dallas is really playing well right now, and you're right, they're beating a very good Minnesota team.
It's almost like having two running backs with opposing styles, like having Reggie Bush and Lindell White at USC. It's like you got Kyrie and you got Luka. There's just it's two totally different playbooks with those guys, but yet they can run the other person's plays too. You cannot stop both these guys. Either if you swing the ball, you get them in mismatches one-on-one. I mean, you can't guard either one of those guys without bringing help.
Well, I think Kyrie Irving's plays got.
He's so smart now, and he's such a veteran now. Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. You know, Kyrie Irving, this is what people expected him to do his entire career, and he's been labeled a malcontent over the years. But you see some of these guys, I think all the way back to Mark Aguirre with the Bad Boys, and I think about Dennis Rodman with the Bulls. when these guys, even these some, you know, somewhat different characters, when they get that close and they can smell it and they can taste that championship, that's when you see what they're all about. We saw it with Mark Aguirre back in the old days. We saw it with Rodman with the Bulls, and I think we're seeing it with Kyrie with the Mavericks. These guys may be, you know, they may be kooky in some ways, but they're not there by accident. And when they get this close, that's when you generally get their best.
DJ Wagner, point guard, Arkansas.
Yeah.
This came, I guess it came a couple weeks after we might have expected it, but a commitment has come. I don't think it'll be public, but all the right people are saying he's committing to Arkansas. And I guess, man, we're just kind of waiting on seeing what Trevin Brazil may decide to do now, Chuck, that he's pulled his name out of the draft. I think he's still in the portal. So there's one piece of the puzzle and maybe a second piece of the puzzle if Trevin comes back.
I don't know. I don't. The only thing I've ever heard about Trevin Brazil coming back was just people speculating. Would that be a possibility? I've not heard anything concrete that makes me believe that's a possibility. Now it may happen. There may be something concrete, and I just don't know about it. But I've not heard anything yet that makes me believe that's going to happen.
Interesting. Well, I mean, is there...
I don't know. Maybe you guys have. I may be out of the loop on this.
I haven't. It's just the... the guy takes his name out of the draft, and he's the lone scholarship player who hasn't made a decision on where it is he's playing. So it's just, I guess, a natural thing to wonder about.
I don't know where he'd fit in here. I don't know. They know better than obviously I do or anybody else, but I haven't heard anything one way or the other concrete on that. Only that he's looking for a place to play, and I think anyone that observed could have predicted he would probably withdraw from the NBA draft.
And he'll find work. He's such a talent. We had Aaron Torres on last week, and we were kind of getting into, if you want to go, which we didn't even touch on. Jordan Walsh is getting some playoff minutes. I don't know if he got any Eastern Conference Finals minutes, but he could win a ring his rookie year. But you get Brazil's going to be doing that Chesapeake Bay run. Like, he's going to be playing in front of 500 people. You're going to be playing in guard-centric offenses where it's going to be real point guard heavy. Instead, going back to college, getting first-class treatment, being able to get a paycheck, still learning how to play. I mean, just being more of a student of the game, I think it benefits him so much to stay in college. And then you look at Coach Cal, Chuck, all the bigs he's put in the NBA. What Hunter Dickinson said the reason he was going to go to Kentucky was because of his work with the bigs, and you look at all the players. Then he goes to Kansas because it's more money. But, man, what a better place for Brazil to get to learn and still be I just think it'd be a great place for him to grow.
Oh, I don't have any doubt Trevin Brazil would love to be a Razorback. I don't have any doubt he'd love to be here. I don't know. I just don't know what the feeling is right now. I don't know if there's mutual interest. But do I believe Trevin Brazil would love to be a Razorback next year? Well, of course I do. Who wouldn't? So I don't really know that that's the issue right here. We're just going to have to wait and see how this unfolds.
That's true. And the draft was in like a month, so you don't have to worry about that with him. And that's, to me, that feels like one scholarship if he's talking about 7 to 8 players, I mean, maybe a ninth. But it feels like it feels like the roster is just about set.
I like Trevin a lot. I really do. I think he's a great kid, super young man. But the first thing you've got to be is available.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. We've not seen Trevin in the big,
he's
the big
get
moment.
Tougher. Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen that. So I think he's a great player. I think he can play professionally someday. But the idea that he's ready now, or I'm going to be honest, I don't know that he's all that close to being ready beyond the fact that he's 6'10 and he can shoot. There's a lot more to do there, and I think that probably a little bit of reality checks in order here, and I think that's probably what's happened.
Chuck, let's leave it there. Hopefully next week we're talking about a Fayetteville Super Regional.
I hope so, too. You guys have a good week.
Thanks, Chuck.
That's All Chuck right. Barrett, the voice of the Razorbacks. He is with us each Tuesday on Halftime. Of course, the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast available this week. And he'll be on with Ruskin and Zach and on the Morning Rush.
Let's go baseball. It's here, Phil. This is what we've been talking about all year. And you go through this season. And it's not that the season's a drag. It's just a different vibe. It's just a different atmosphere now that you're in tournament play. You can feel the excitement. You can feel it.
I can see the vibe in your face and in your voice.
Yeah, you're happy today, Phil. It's good. It's good.
Let's go baseball. Definitely has some pull to it today.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Hey, Alyssa. How you doing? The regional setup is all in front of us. I'm feeling nervous. Tell me why I shouldn't feel nervous.
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good, honestly. You know, I like this draw. I don't think it's easy per se, but I do feel like Arkansas can take care of business. You play well. You play the way that this team is capable of playing, and I think you advance to a super. I think it could have been harder, right? And I think the NCAA maybe gave Arkansas a little bit of an olive branch for putting TCU in their regional a year ago.
Which of these teams scares you the most out of the other three? Is it Southeast? Is it Kent State? Is it La Tech?
Yeah, I think it's Louisiana Tech. You know, and I look back at the history of these two teams and when they've played, and even when Arkansas went down to Ruston and played them a few years ago. You know, we remember the Jalen Battles home run that ricocheted off of one of the dorm rooms outside of the stadium. But at the same time, those games were tough, and they always play really tough, so Louisiana's Tech Bulldogs too. So that one scares me, I think, the most.
Yeah, they've got Ethan Bates. I don't want to see Ethan Bates pitch, because if he does, that means La Tech has a lead in either the eighth or the ninth inning. But I'm happy for his success.
Right.
He was a kid that I always thought was really talented and just kind of tough to crack through the Arkansas lineup. And, hey, he may be the probably be Caglione for the John Olerud two-way winner, but Bates, I don't think he'd be that far behind him, honestly.
Yeah, you know, and that's something, too, that we know in college baseball, that a lot of talented guys come here. And then leave for a reason or another, not because of anything personal, but want to go get some playing time. And it's good to see these guys. I mean, you think about Colin Poche, who was here at Arkansas for a while and transferred out and has made a really successful career for himself. And he's just an example of guys who needed to go somewhere else, maybe get a little bit more playing time and develop.
Alyssa, I like Molina, how he's been coming out later instead of starting. I don't know, just you're saying, hey, man, come out there and get me five outs. Come out there and get me seven outs. But Phil and I were talking about, you know, if you're not going to pitch Hagan Smith in the first game, who do you trust the most? Do you trust Molina enough to say, hey, all right, well, we're going to start him knowing that he's probably only going to go 4 innings?
Yeah, you know, that's a really tough thing to think about, and I think you're right, because I think Mason Molina coming out of the bullpen is a little bit more relaxed. It's a lot less pressure, and he's had success there, which you want to keep going, but you know, he's been a starter before, and so you can put him back in that starting role, hopefully that he's just feeling himself more. But I wouldn't also be mad about starting Gage Wood in that first game either. And I've thought kind of back and forth on this. If you can get some really good innings out of Gage, then you can save Mason for game three. That could set you up for some success. And you also have a Will McIntyre who, again, I understand down this stretch has struggled a little bit, but he is a guy that we have seen shine in these postseason lights. and maybe he's a guy that kind of starts to come back around and can pitch for you too. So I like to see Gage Wood get the start on Friday, to be honest. I keep coming back to that every time I've thought about it.
So reasons why I think some fans are nervous about this weekend, and maybe that's the reason I am too, is right now, I don't really know what it is that Arkansas excels at. It had been starting pitching. Right now, it's Hagan Smith as a starting pitcher. But you got to win three games at the very least over the weekend. And here we are wondering, who are the other two starting pitchers? Where are they going to line up? You know, maybe there have been other teams be like, you know what? It's going to be really difficult for opponents to keep this lineup down. This is not that year. They look disinterested in Hoover at times in terms of running the bases and the fundamentals and playing in the field. These were all things that they did very well in the regular season. And I got to hope that they can just like get back to those habits, the little things they were right. good at. But right now, I'm just wondering, what is it that we can hold on to as to what they'll do really well outside of just trusting that Hagan Smith is going to pitch well the one game that he does pitch?
Yeah, no, that you make really good points. And even offensively, kind of figuring out what exactly they're doing right there. And before Hoover, you could be like, well, their defense is really solid, and they made really uncharacteristic errors on their defensive side as well. I think for me, I just don't want to put too much stock in the SEC tournament and what happened or what didn't happen in Hoover, because this team has always proved me wrong whenever I put too much stock in the SEC tournament, even when they win it in 2021 and everyone is like, yeah, we're on cruise control. This is going to be great. We win the league. We won the SEC tournament. And then we all saw what happened during the Super Regionals against NC State. So it's almost like just not putting too much stock or emphasis on what happened in that little bubble of the SEC tournament, and just going back to trusting baseball works itself out. That's kind of where I am right now mentally as I look at this team. And so maybe that can bring some people some comfort of just forget about that and just think about what this team is and its core, and see what happens.
Hey, Alyssa, what would we say? What would you say if you're Coach Van Horn to Diggs to get him going right? I don't know if it's something like what the Clippers did with Russell Westbrook, where you say, "Hey, Russ, you're going to run the second unit. Hey, Diggs, we're going to need you at the seven hole, and we're going to." And I don't know where you put him in that lineup, but it's no question we're going to need him to hit better if this team wants a chance to win.
Yeah, you know, I asked Coach that question a few weeks ago of, are you having conversations with Kendall? Like, what does that look like? And he goes, yeah, we're talking to him. But at the same time, I can't over talk to him where he's in his head a little bit. I don't hate that they let off with him in Hoover. And maybe that's where you put him and just say, you know what, we know that you have it in you. You're going to be fine. I'm going to put you in the leadoff hole and see what happens. I don't think that that's bad. I think that you can almost overstress things too much, and you get too in your head, and you make things worse. And so sometimes that not hands off, but, you know, that quiet confidence where maybe you don't even need to have a conversation at all might be more beneficial than trying to have too many conversations.
Why is Florida in the field? Why are they comfortably in the field? Florida State fan, go for it.
Are you the College of Charleston's head coach?
I'm just kidding. look, I mean, I understand what Holbrook is getting at in some cases. You're held to a different standard in terms of your win and loss record when you're a mid-major team. You're expected to win your conference championship. Mm-hmm. They don't care if you win your conference championship if you're P4. They just don't. Maybe the Big Ten, maybe that matters more. But what I'm seeing is Florida is basically rewarded for being in Florida and for scheduling the Division I teams
that they
and being in the SEC East, and that's it. Look, so they scheduled all these tough teams. They went 22 and 40 against teams out of the, well, no, I'm looking at the wrong number. They went 15 and 24, all right, against quads 1 and 2. I don't care that you schedule the games. You got to win those games too.
Yeah, it was really nice to see the Seminoles sweep them this year. And if anyone doesn't know how that series works, they play one in Gainesville, one in Jacksonville, and one in Tallahassee. So you can't even be the, well, it was in, you know, it was home or away games or home games or whatever. I think it has everything to do with the name on the front of that jersey. and getting, you know, a little bit of a preferential treatment because, you know, you're Florida and you won a national championship recently. And, you know, Jack Caglione, quite frankly, is a much more fun storyline to talk about. And you got to get viewership, and people are going to watch the Gators play. And so I think, I don't care what anyone says, there's politics involved. I think we all know there's politics involved. Don't get me on my college football playoff soapbox, but it is what it is. And the committee made their decision, and it was unfortunate because I was really hoping that the Gators would not make the tournament, so I can kind of, you know, give Courtney Mims a hard time, but no go.
Hey, Alyssa, have you been keeping up with these NBA playoffs? I know Daniel Gafford doing his thing with Dallas, and it looks like it's going to be a Dallas-Boston matchup, which I think is going to be awesome. Yeah. A lot of star power. What are your thoughts on these NBA playoffs?
You know, Matt, you know why I keep up with the NBA playoffs? It's because I know you're going to ask me about
Uh-oh.
It. So now I'm paying attention. So now I'm very much paying attention. But yeah, you're right. And I think it's been really fun to watch Daniel Gafford blossom into the player that he's become since he's gone to Dallas. And, you know, it's a situation where, you know, the Wizards just maybe weren't utilizing him that well. And then he comes to the Mavericks and is really finding his way, which is great to see. And I don't think Jordan Walsh plays, but anything, but he's on the roster with the Celtics. So we'll have two former Razorbacks in the NBA playoff finals, and that'll be exciting. And, you know, I like Mark Cuban, so I guess I'm kind of a Mavs fan at the moment. And it's been really fun to watch. So
I saw Walsh get in. I think it was the second round. They were either up 19 or down 19 in the game. And what a cool ride. You know, I'm always pulling for Arkansas guys and Razorbacks, and to have Gafford, if they are able to get in, and then having Walsh that has the Arkansas ties, I mean, that's just pretty cool.
It's really fun. Well, and it's for people like me who don't follow it on a day-by-day basis to have someone to root for in these moments. So I appreciate that. And we could have had it regardless because, you know, you have Corliss Williamson, who's an assistant.
That's right.
The Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Alyssa, what do you think? What do you think the situation here with Trevin Brazile is about? Chuck had brought this up, and I think this is a salient point. So he's taken his name out of the NBA draft. He's still in the transfer portal. Here it is, all this conversation that we've even started here, and I see other fans having about, well, you know, maybe Trevin's going to come back to Arkansas, and maybe there is the option for him in his mind. But is that option available? You think that option is available to him as far as Cal and the coaching staff is concerned?
Yeah, you don't really know. I mean, at this point, with the roster, do you bring him back just because you've got a scholarship there to bring him back? Or have you already moved on with the guys that you've brought in and continue to recruit? Man, it's just been one of those situations with Trevin where he's a really good kid, and when you sit down and you talk to him, you enjoy that conversation and you root for him to do well and to have some success, and it's been a really tough road. And sometimes when those roads get tough, you have people telling you one thing and people telling you something else, and now you find yourself right now where you've taken yourself out of the NBA draft because I think his stock again got worse as the year progressed in the NBA draft, and now you don't really have a home because you're back in the transfer portal, and you hate it for him. So maybe he does, but part of me only feels like he comes back because that might be one of the only options he has left, which you hate. So, I mean, I hope this story has a happy ending, but it doesn't. It hasn't really written itself very well for him, which is unfortunate.
Well, let's leave it there. Alyssa, always appreciate you. We'll talk again next week. See you at Balm this weekend, okay?
Yeah, I will. I'll see you there. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Alyssa Orange from Pig Trail Nation with us each Tuesday on Halftime.
You hope, you know, a guy like Brazile is if he's watching the NBA Finals or the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and I'd be watching who are the guys that I would be matching up with. You know, who would I have to guard? Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, Lively and Gafford. Do you also see how springy they are and see how athletic they are? That Brazil has that type of ability and that talent to be a guy like that, that can be a lob guy, that can come out almost like a Christoph Porzingis that he hasn't been playing, but can be a guy that can stretch the four, but can also be a guy that can be in that pick and roll and can do a lot of different things because of his size.
I wonder if Ivicic is a little bit of that style player. I don't think it's necessarily the athleticism or the leaping ability, but from what I'm reading and saw a little bit, passing ability is there for him, shooting ability. He'll stretch that defense out a little bit. I don't think he's as athletic as Brazil.
Brazil's the extremely athletic. Yeah, right.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Hey, Bill, happy Tuesday, and what's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm excited about some college baseball, I would guess.
I would guess I am right there with you. I think most of our listeners are too, if not just a little cautious optimism and maybe a little nervousness because Arkansas will be playing at home and, you know, the past couple weeks haven't been all that good. But, man, 11 teams out of the SEC getting in. And I guess with what'd you think about Florida's inclusion into the tournament this year?
I didn't think. Now, guys, I'm not a historian like you are with college baseball or baseball in general, but I didn't think they'd get in. I was a little bit surprised. I mean, in hindsight, I guess I'm not. But going into the selection show, I didn't think they'd get in.
It looked like they were comfortably in, too. Like they weren't even one of the first, one of the last four teams in. So that was the one team I think could get left out as far as the SEC was concerned. But nobody got left out of the SEC. And top three seeds are all SEC teams. You know Tennessee well. I think you know Kentucky well. Who do you look at as a favorite right now?
You have the dreaded number one seed curse, but I would think Tennessee's the favorite. Mm-hmm. They've got a very fortunate path to Omaha. I'm not saying that just give it to them, but and they did set it up to where they may be playing Wake Forest with Chase Burns, who was the number one pitcher 2 years ago for Tennessee, and last year left them at the end of the year. He was ticked off because they demoted him to the bullpen, so he's the ace at Wake Forest, and he's probably the number two pitcher taken in the draft coming up. So they match that. If that one comes to fruition, they're in the East Carolina regional, so they'd have to get out of there. But I thought that was easy. But no, I think Tennessee is clearly the favorite going in.
How important is the regular season, Bill, as far as like when you're looking at basketball teams and they get into the NCAA tournament, you're kind of like, hey, man, this team's won 18 in a row or this team's won 15 of their last 16. Arkansas hasn't really been that way. They played really tough opponents, but kind of just been, you know, around 500 their last 10 games. How important is that to just be able to reset and focus now on the regional?
There's no, I think what you're pointing out, there's no Connecticut where you just know, right? There's a guarantee they're going deep and probably going to win it. You can't do that with baseball. Let's prove that. Mississippi State proved it a couple of years ago. It's very difficult. Sometimes the momentum picks up this week. Whatever you saw previously isn't what you really thought you were seeing, and the momentum changes starting Thursday, Friday, over the weekend. That happens all the time. That's why in baseball is clearly the sport where you can at least try and claim lots of different things can happen. You can't say that in football, in college football. But you can in college baseball. Tennessee a couple of years ago didn't even get to Omaha, and they were an overwhelming one seed. It's tough, man.
Bill, I think we hit on some of this last week, but it was before the NCAA announced the settlement, you know, was basically agreed upon by the power conferences and then forced on the other conferences. Are we going to get to a place, because it seems, what it seems to me is that the leagues will gain more autonomy to decide maybe roster limits or maybe how much each school gets in terms of a salary pool. So I think in that case, we talk about the difference in revenue for the P2, which are the Big Ten schools and the SEC schools, even comparing those to ACC and Big 12. So we very well could be at a place then the SEC and Big 12 or the SEC and Big 10 have larger payrolls. We can use that word, line item, a payroll for your players, than the other leagues. And now we're really talking about a huge discrepancy in, we use the term resources so often to talk about facilities and fan bases and all of that. A term in this, it's just about money and money available to pay players. This could be a big separator between the Big Ten and SEC and everybody else.
Yeah, the autonomy has already started. And it's been going on, but the most recent proof would be the new playoff money. We've talked about, guys, Big Ten and the SEC is going to get 58% of the $1.3 billion a year starting in 26. That's just the playoff money. That's not your league TV money. That's the postseason money. It means Vanderbilt gets $23 million a year in playoff money for doing nothing. That's the autonomy has started. Now, your point is it's clear, it's defined, and it will continue, and that is true. It will probably get more severe. And what we don't know, but we're approaching, is what schools can afford to play this game, and then when do we start seeing schools cut sports? And football would be the last, but sports are going to get cut here. I'm not saying in the SEC it's going to happen, but it could happen in the ACC, and it could happen maybe in the Big 12.
Yeah, that was a thing that I was going to bring up here and wonder about it. You know, we're still kind of pretending that Division One is Division One, and it's this big monolith. And we know for sure, I mean, you have separators within Division One of even the haves and the have-nots. You know, for a place like the SEC, like the Big Ten, and maybe even the other two major leagues in college sports, there seems like there'd be enough money to be able to pay the players and not have to cut too much. But there are a lot of Division One athletic departments that just can't afford this, that really flat out just can't afford it.
Correct. And the truth, the sodium pentothal moment, what we like to say on the show, the stress test, however you want to describe it, we're within a year of the reality of whatever that is. And there's going to be some pain.
Hey, I know I've heard you hear say this name before, is the Lama Leba guy that Nico that's going to be Tennessee. Yep. I just saw where his brother Madden. What is he pretty good? He's a 4-star and he just committed to UCLA. UCLA's quarterback last year. I think he's at Oregon now, so that'd be interesting. But how is his brother? Is he a star as well?
Yes, different body type. He's more physically built. Nico's really long and lean, basketball, All-American volleyball player. 6'6", 205, maybe 210, but he got there. It's probably 185. Madden is 6'4", 230. Different body type. Very good player. Not the high end that Nico. Nico's high end is the first pick in the draft. That's what his high end is. Now, I can't guarantee you that, obviously, but that is what he, that's his ability level. And last, Madden's not that.
The last guy you warned us about that could be the first overall pick, it was when Ty Richardson was doing the show with me, and you warned us about Trevor Lawrence, and it turned out he was exactly that. So you got a good eye for these
Trevor,
things, Bill.
Trevor, we got note of him when he was in ninth grade in Cartersville, Georgia. He actually was an East Tennessee kid, and then family moved to Cartersville, Georgia. And freshman year took over. And yeah. Now, again, who knows? But Nico's played one game, basically, the Iowa Bowl game. Not a whole lot there. He played well, but we all know a bowl game doesn't necessarily define you. But that's, I'm just telling you what his top end potential is, put it that way.
Hey, Bill Arndt, I think the SEC meetings in Destin, I think they start, they might have started today. And I think it's this week.
They started.
What's the major points that you think are getting spoken about there?
Last night, actually, Monday night, the commissioner, Greg Sankey, met with the media. And that's not always, that's not really a media event, meaning scheduled moments. What media has to do at the Sandestin Hilton is just stand in the lobby like idiots and wait for something, and sometimes you stand all day and nothing comes your way. But that's kind of that event. Anyway, Sankey met with him, and I don't know that anything was said in particular. They asked him about the Rashada thing. He said he didn't like lawsuits and said he never had a student athlete come to him and say, I want to be paid, so I'm taxed like an employee. Things like that, which makes basically no sense. But I don't know, guys, if anything, the future of the league schedule right now, it's at 8 games in intra-league. That's 2 more years. Does that get talked about a little bit? Probably. Things like that. And I would think also scholarship allocation, because there's a lot of rumors that they're going to do away with walk-ons, which puts you at 85 total with no walk-ons. And again, that's not official, but that is a heavy discussion that's going on right now. Things like that.
Wow, that's kind of wild to think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. That would do away with the Brandon Brolsworth Award and, you know, the story behind guys like that and a Baker Mayfield and a Grant Morgan. I mean, these are some of the – these are stories that, you know, regular people just connect with.
Hey, guys, if Charlie Condon were a football player, where would he be
right.
with that rule?
That's a very good point, Bill. Hey, Bill, we'll leave it there. I hope you enjoy the regionals this weekend. We'll reconnect next week, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill King, Nashville Sports Radio. You think about that, the doing away of walk-ons. Now, the idea of eliminating scholarships, like that's for a guy with like me, like a baseball guy, we do away with the 11.7. Good. It's about time. But if you're doing away with walk-ons, it's some of the greatest stories have to do with somebody walking onto a team.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, if you're just on scholarship or if you're wanting to play, that's, I mean, that kind of comes into that as well. You know, how many scholarships are you going to have? That Lama Leva, I thought that was the kid transferring because I've heard Bill talk about him so much, but it's his brother, kind of like Tua's brother that went to Maryland. I don't know if he's going to be as good as his brother, but at least it's in his blood. It's in his bloodline.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.